Welcome. My name is Asam Stolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research. Welcome to our session, everyone. Thanks for coming along. This is your chance to interact with your podcast hosts. So Tarek and I host the UEG Journal podcast, and our co-hosts, I'll let them introduce themselves.
So it's Pradeep Mundre. I'm the host for UEG Talks, along with my good colleague.
Agle Deninite. And we host UEG Talks, the UEG podcast, your gastroenterology to go podcast. So, and today we're making an epic episode comprised of your opinions and your ideas about the things that we already asked our expert opinions.
Okay, let's go. So the aim of the UEG Journal podcast is specifically to interview authors on their publications to try and gain more exposure and to really interact with them and just provide a platform where people can kind of listen to GI publications on the go. And we basically select the best or our favorite publication from that month with Tarek.
Also, we aim to pick the authors to your car, to your earphone, to your phone. I mean, while you're cooking, you can listen to them and improve your, you know, research knowledge and boost your motivation. And we really learn and enjoy while doing them.
And UEG Talks provides broad spectrum of themes and contributors, ranging from very scientific topics like pancreatic cystic neoplasms to something very, very dear to our hearts, like surviving the world of GI. Okay, so the first question, or not a question, could you please introduce yourself? We don't know about you.
Hi, I'm Lian Wu. I came from Cambridge, and I'm now working as a postdoc in the field of upper GI early cancer detection, and do some computational work and to do some interaction with the clinical work as well as the machine learning. So yeah, nice to meet you guys. Yeah.
Nice to meet you guys. I'm Dong from China, Renmin Hospital of Wuhan University. And I'm now a student, but I will get my MD the next year. And maybe I will be a gastroenterologist, or maybe I will make my decision to come abroad as a postdoc or whatever. So nice to meet you. Yeah, it's a wonderful program. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Shakti. I'm one of the junior doctors working in the United Kingdom. I'm an aspiring gastroenterologist trying to learn from a mentor, Dr. Pradeep Mundre. So yeah.
I'm Enrique de Madaria, a young pancreatologist from Alicante, Spain. I am a veteran in the UEG podcast, as I have been both in the UEG Journal podcast and I have two in the UEG Talk. So and my field is pancreatology.
I'm Artemis. I'm a gastroenterologist from Athens, Greece. And I am very happy to be here in UEG Week and hearing UEG podcast.
So thank you. Thank you for introducing yourself. As you know, we have always have some obstacles during our research, during our career pathway. So what are some of the challenges that you faced and continue to face in publishing your GI research, whether in UEG Journal or beyond?
The research pathway is a continuous effort, and sometimes there are some obstacles, sometimes you need more and more motivation, but if you find good colleagues and nice mentors, I think this pathway is always into the right direction.
Enrique, I guess you don't have so much challenges nowadays, but maybe you had in past. So what are your challenges? Yeah, for publication.
The challenges are that I think that if you are looking for something that is worth for the patient, you have a publication. If you just want to publish, it's more difficult, because if you are looking for something that it really does not answer something the patients need, it's more difficult to publish and you lose focus. But if you want to answer something and you do it with, well, it can be just observational, you can be more ambitious, but, well, I think if you're looking for an answer for a question and the methodology is okay, you will publish it. But unfortunately, we see a lot of publications that they have no focus because the object of the team is just to publish. And this is difficult sometimes. I think maybe I'm provocative, but...
So I guess you guys have all been involved in some form of education in various ways, you know, either reading journals or looking at webinars or joining online. And Enrique, you've been involved in education in various shapes and form. You do online teaching and everything else. What is it about the podcast that is different from your other ways of education, whether that is learning or kind of imparting knowledge to the others in certain situations? So what is it about the podcast that is different, which attracts you towards it?
Well, one thing, as Alex mentioned, was that it's easy to listen. You can listen it at any point of time. And if someone is talking to you, it's more of, you know, you can visualize as well. And, you know, work through towards it. And it's just, you can always rewind it, play it again. The technical aspects is good. And also it's a conversation you're listening to. So there's more, you know, you feel included as well. That's my understanding of it. I feel I'm able to relate to it more because webinars are always directed with a specific agenda and everything. While in podcasts, you have the liberty to talk around the topics and have a more of a holistic perspective rather than just a very focused mindset. That's my understanding of it.
I think in our days, our times will be divided into smaller parts in our daily life. And for example, during my road to the work, when I was working and or driving or have a shower, yeah. So there is no way we can read or we can concentrate or something. But our brains is not occupied at that time. So I think the postcard is very good to fulfill that time. So I think it's a great way to for starting, yeah.
Thank you all for those great perspectives. So I'm wondering, do you often use podcasts to actually keep up with the latest research in the field? Or is there any other kind of platform or convention that you would often use instead to keep up with this research? And follow-up question from that, how do you think we could make our podcasts more accessible to people? Because I've realized that unless you are closely associated with one of your hosts, you may not be aware. And actually, the UG Journal is not the only scientific journal that has a podcast. So I only started listening to journal podcasts after I became a host myself. So what do you think is the limiting step, and why are people not listening to podcasts more?
Actually, when we want to, when I want to have some dedicated training time, I would prefer something visualizing. So a podcast would not be that familiar and famous for me. But when I need some brief time while walking, while doing something that I cannot use a screen, I would definitely prefer a specific podcast to give me some more information.
I remember that, previously, before I came to UK, I was in China. And during the first several months in UK, I feel very hard for the language things. So every day when I wake up, I will open the postcard to randomly open news or songs, but in English, just to refresh myself and in the same time to polish my listening. So I think if I knew UEG Talk before, I would prefer to choose this one because it's not only for the English, but also for have some knowledge in my field. I think it's very great, can have both effect, both for our non-English native speakers. Yeah, it's a very good choice. And following the second question is how to make it better, more acceptable. According to my experience on listening to the postcard, I prefer those maybe have what you can image and what the people said. You can, when you are listening, you can image what was happening. And for example, if there are two people argue about some opinion and or it has a setting, it's in a market or in a hospital, and you can image what was happened. You can have some pictures in your mind. It's very interesting. I think it's what can interest me the most. Thank you. Yeah.
just to continue on her perspective, like one of the things, like first of all, podcast is a very new novel thing that has just started with respect to listening to medical knowledge, at least because the authenticity is always questioned. But when it's done by a proper organization, we feel more confident. Second of all, more of a hybrid thing. When I say hybrid, I mean to say there are a few apps like for other books and everything when you read. They just have a short pointers. So if I'm like, in a sense, obviously I can't listen podcast at a length if I'm on the go or something. So if I stop it, I can always restart and have a pointer or like a small summary, like where, you know, there are 10 points and I'm starting from fifth point. It might just help me to grasp, get back on the zone again. Like I'll read the first 4 points. I'm like, okay, so we are starting the conversation from here. Obviously, it requires lots of work from the host. So that's obvious. And it's, you know, depends on time and everything. But this is just one of the insights I got from using other applications.
There are ways to do it. There are ways within the apps to kind of have like chapters and things like that. And then you can choose whichever. That's good for what I've seen. You know, I'm a very much of a podcast enthusiast and I've been listening to them for many years now. If you are reading audiobooks and things, we do have that kind of that way, because audiobooks, as you know, they run for 10 hours, 11 hours. Because the way that these podcasts are designed, both the UEG Journal and the UEG Talks, we make it about 30 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. So it's a little bit difficult to chapterize that, so we specifically chose this length so that it's not too long and it's just about enough. You know, anything beyond 30 minutes, your attention span, it's not there, so you kind of stop. So we kind of specifically made sure it's similar length.
So let's step the other side of the table. So what's your challenges during your UG talks?
Mainly technical. Forgetting to turn on the mic. Happened once or twice. Other than that, I guess we choose the topics and speakers who are very inspirational, very passionate, and there are no problems, just inspiration and pleasure to talk with them and get inspired. So if you turn on the mic, everything's fine.
Okay. Before we get into the more study-specific questions, I have a question for everyone, including my co-hosts. We spoke about challenges in GI publishing, but what are your day-to-day challenges in GI research itself? I can possibly start. I wrote an article in the UG Journal, which some of you, Enrique, I think you've kindly helped to publicize it even more, is imposter syndrome, which particularly affects everyone, I think. I've had lots of conversations with people in this conference about it, but particularly younger people who feel like maybe they may not be good enough to be in the space they're in. But that's just one example that I can think of. So what is a challenge that you faced in getting to the position that you're at or during your research day to day? And how are you implementing tools to overcome that challenge?
Okay, well, I'm talking about myself. The first thing is to get rid of your own barriers, the things that make you think you are not able to do research, that you are in a small center, that your workload is too much. And I have a talk in 10 minutes about this during UEG, which is called Recipe for Success Even Outside Big Centers, that it will be available in the UEG as stream later. I think the first thing, at least in my case, was to understand that research, people who do research are not more smart or are gifted or have some genetic thing from birth. They are just, they know that they want to do research. You have to know you want to do research, and then you have to get rid of all the noise that is in your head, that you don't know how to do it, that you are not good enough, because it's easy. It's easy, but it takes a lot of time. You have to learn from the beginning, learn from scratch, to learn step by step. So my advice to start making research is just to understand that you can, is the first thing. The second thing is to do an easy statistical course. You don't need a master in statistics of 4 years. You can do it later. I did it, for example, but when my career was clearly, when I realized I wanted to do research. So make a easy research group, and then to work every day a bit of your days to be devoted to clinical research, that it makes you advance month by month and year by year, and the complexity of the things you will do will be more interesting, and you will reach questions that are really important for the patients. Not at the beginning, not at the medium time, but at the when you are years and years doing research, and you have to enjoy this trip. I wrote in the UG Journal an article for the Young GI Corner about the trip that is research, the steps that you have to take, and I think it's nice to read it, my friends.
Thank you so much, Enrico, for your lovely insights. Professor Yue Strength, Editor-in-Chief of the UG Journal and now Vice President of the UG Society. Can you tell us about the challenges that you face in your research day-to-day and in getting to the position that you're in now and some tools that you've implemented to overcome those challenges? Sorry to put you on the spot straight away.
Well, no, actually put me in front of the bus. So, no, well, there are always challenges, but a good challenge always begins with a good question, I would say. If you do research, and if you want to do research, you want to pursue research, you have to ask the good questions. And I will tell you a little story. When I was a fellow in training of internist, I was at the outpatient clinic, and a man came in, 70s, with anemia, iron-deficient anemia. So my inch was, well, we should give this blood to this man, iron to this chap, and scope him. But that had already been done in a different hospital. So I examined him, and I heard a murmur at his heart, and he was complaining about shortness of breath while he was going up the stairs, but nothing else. So actually, this guy had iron-deficient anemia because of one angiodysplasia, or angiodysplasia in his bowel. And upon looking in the literature, I discovered that there was a link between angiodysplasias in the colon, or in the jejunum, and a murmur in the heart, an aortic stenosis. So I sold this patient to the cardiac thoracic surgeon, who put in a new valve. The problem was solved. I found this fascinating. You see a patient, you go back to the literature, you find a solution which I never, ever, ever, ever expected, and you are able to cure this patient. So that really, really, really motivated me to go on and to find what is the relation between bleeding and angiodysplasia and the heart. Can you do something differently? So that is why I designed a research part in this way, which has finalized now with a publication, hopefully upcoming in a major journal.
So here's another question. Actually, we all talk about the obstacles about the research, making research in your career. So you're an editor and you're so successful in your side. So what's challenging for you as an editor?
Research all starts with data. And the better the quality of the data, the better acceptable the paper actually is. So the thing you have control over is the quality of your data, the quality of your question, and the quality of your methodology. That is the starting point. So I, as an editor, am really looking forward for new ideas that is potentially changing. And I spoke with Michael Brethauer. He is the editor of Annals of Internal Medicine, during an interview. And he said, Joost, I really want to have the wow factor. I open a paper, wow, look at these guys. What did he do? It's really new. So that is research that you actually should do. But start first with checking your data, checking your methodology. And one important token, research is not a solo activity. You don't do it alone. You need a team, not only in your unit, but also elsewhere, in a different unit, a different hospital, because that makes your research stronger.
Thank you very much.
So maybe to finish off, I guess we all seek for some inspiration, some adventure in our daily professional lives. So I was wondering, what's the next big thing in GI that you await the most and you're most excited?
Maybe I think most exciting thing is just seeing the new techniques that will be applied in real clinic, because my work is mainly about using deep learning and machine learning algorithms and to make new systems and to apply that into clinic to see what effect will it play in the real clinic and while clinicians accept it and some human and machine interaction things. They are very interesting and very challenging and very promising, I think.
What I think is the future is now. And actually what the Germans are doing right now, Germans have a very good system of guidelines. And they are now feeding the information of the literature into a machine learning system in order to produce guidelines. And they do it on two ways, traditional and machine learning ways. See whether something will come out differently. And then they will apply these machine learned guidelines in clinical practice, so that if you see a patient, let's say with iron deficient anemia, you get a line, did you listen to the heart? And that is really going to improve your clinical practice because you see it, what is happening.
So maybe this question is for you, Shakti. So you are not a gastroenterologist, you've just finished your med school, and this is your first conference, right? So you're very new in terms of everything. So what is it in the last 3 days, what is about the UEG week that you like the most?
Well, first of all, when I came here, I was really overwhelmed. I was excited, but overwhelmed because there's so many different things happening. Under Dr. Mundra, I was focused on endoscopy primarily, but when I came here, there's so many other things happening. I learned a lot. And I think the future with respect to how this week was more of like the introduction of AI into our daily life with respect to treatment and research. Also, the microbiota that has fascinated me. That's what, and I got an insight into translational gastroenterology, which is a new thing for me because I'm not research at all. Like, I want to do research, but I'm very more clinical oriented. So this was my introduction, and it has been an amazing week for me. Like, I've learned a lot of things. I'm more excited to come back and contribute, hopefully, in the coming years.
Importantly, did you make any friends?
Oh yeah, loads of friends and colleagues. I interacted with lots of people. So yeah, it's been a really enriching experience. And thank you for getting me here.
So we're going to wrap up there. Thank you so much for coming along to the Interactive Insights with your podcast hosts. I hope you've enjoyed chatting with us and providing your thoughts for our podcast. We will publish this, so watch out for that. And yeah, enjoy the rest of today. And safe travels home, everyone. Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you and see you again.
UEG Talks, gastroenterology to go. Check out our new podcast.